The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Welcome back to Q-Who. This is the first of our two-part celebration of the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who. And this week we are starting with an interview with the DRE Master, who is, of course, played by Mark Kalita. He plays the Master in our fan-produced Doctor Who series. And, he has agreed to an interview with us to talk about Doctor Who and his portrayal of the Master and, you know, things like that. So that's what's happening in this episode. Like I said, it's going to be a two-part episode of Q-Who, basically, for the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who. But this week we will be talking with Mark Kalita. And in the next episode, we will be interviewing the Doctor himself, Paul Arbisi. So you got that to look forward to as well, asking him similar questions. But let's get on with part one here, and we will talk to Mark Kalita. Okay, welcome to Q-Who, Mark.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. And wow, 60 years of Doctor Who. What a special occasion. I honestly never imagined that after all of these decades, Roger Delgado would have eventually become me. Yeesh. How the mighty have fallen, huh?
All right. The course question is, what or when was your introduction to Doctor Who, the TV series?
I want to say I got into Doctor Who probably sometime in either 1979 or 1980. Doctor Who was on our local PBS channel, Channel 11, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, which coincidentally was when I would usually have my after-school nap time. I was in grammar school at the time. And one day, my dad wakes me up because he'd seen some of it in the weeks beforehand and told me that I should check it out. Well, the first mistake was getting me up from my nap, so I already wasn't in a very good mood. And I'm watching this show, and one of the first things I saw, it was Robot, Tom Baker's first episode, coincidentally. So one of the first things I see is this giant robot that looks like it's been made out of garbage cans. And I'm already looking at this thing pretty suspect. And so finally the Doctor appears, and I'm looking at this really weird guy with these big eyeballs and these giant teeth with the floppy hat and the long scarf. And I'm thinking, okay, what kind of craziness is this? And I basically just kind of sat there and watched for a while. And I don't think I made it through the entire episode. I told my dad, I'm like, yeah, more for you. I'm really not interested in this. Thanks. But that was going to be a temporary situation. A couple years later, Doctor Who got put on Sunday nights at like 11 o'clock. And I stumbled across it after watching like Dave Allen at Large and Monty Python, I think is what they were showing at the time. And so Doctor Who comes on. Tom Baker is still the Doctor. I had no idea at the time that there were other Doctors before him. And I believe Genesis of the Daleks was being shown that night. And the Daleks first came on, and I was just like, oh, all right, we don't have garbage cans walking around talking this time. This is cool. So I started watching, and I think I actually finished, I think that was a two-parter. So I finished that and decided to watch again the following week to see how that turned out. And I thought, all right, well, this is certainly better than the last episode. So I stuck on for a little bit longer, and Revenge of the Cybermen came on after that. And I thought, oh, all right, we got all kinds of interesting creatures and aliens running around now. All right, you have my attention. I'm going to watch a little bit longer. And then obviously, you know, the Doctor got a hold of his TARDIS, and I got to get the whole, oh my gosh, it's bigger on the inside than the outside moment. And I just started watching, and before I realize it, I was hooked.
What is the appeal of Doctor Who for you?
I think the appeal for me of Doctor Who is that it's very much an anything goes kind of show. It's like the ultimate escapist show. With the TARDIS, you can go literally anywhere in time and space, and you're not limited to just being stuck on Earth, even though I later learned that you know, the third Doctor spent a lot of time on Earth, and certainly the modern Doctors have a tendency to spend a lot of time on Earth. But it was just, you had such an open landscape to play with. And I liked the historical episodes. Those were always a lot of fun. To me, every bit as good as the alien planets that the Doctor would visit. And it was just particularly cool for me to see the Doctor interact with you know, both historical figures and fictional historical figures, and just trying to think about, you know, different important points in history, historical events, and on some of them to see how the Doctor in some way may have influenced them. So that was always interesting for me. I think that's one of the biggest things I'm hoping for. As far as future episodes go, I would love for them to do more historical episodes. That's one of the cool things about Big Finish, is they have quite a lot of those, and I always find those particularly interesting. Naturally, in addition to the places the Doctor can go, there's the fact that the Doctor can regenerate too, which I thought was an amazing concept. You know, so you could literally keep this show going on indefinitely. And I think that was one of the most clever plot devices ever created by any kind of a TV show. And, you know, we've certainly had quite a cast over the decades. And that only seems to be getting more interesting now that we're here for the 60th anniversary. And I'm certainly hoping the show will be around for the 70th and the 80th. And, well, I don't know if I'm going to be around myself after that. But I'm looking forward, hopefully. I'm carefully optimistic about what we have yet to see what the future holds.
What are some of your favorite moments and stories from the classic era of Doctor Who?
Oh, wow, that's a huge catalog of episodes to to go through and try and say, you know, like, what was my favorite? Because there was just so much wonderful cheese during those decades. But I think if I had to kind of break it down, certainly a lot of the historical first appearances, as they say, like in the comic book world. So like the first episode with the Daleks, the Cybermen, the Ice Warriors, the Zygons, obviously the Master. Those were all just amazing bits of history right there. I also thought the episodes where we finally got to see Gallifrey and the Time Lords, and to see just how different the Doctor seems to be from the rest of his people, just how much of a rebel he really is compared to the uptight Gallifreyan Time Lord society. That was always really interesting. Nowadays, you'll have like a season-long story arc, and it's got the big one long sort of interconnected bunch of stories. But, back then, it's kind of like when it started, I loved the Key to Time story arc. And even though those are individual bits, it to me reads like one great big story. And for me, there's nothing like a classic quest for something. I've always found those kind of stories really interesting. You know, there's loads of stories and cartoons out there where you've got to get all these segments of something and put them together to make some kind of super weapon or magic item or something like that. And that's always cool, just the different situations that the heroes find themselves in trying to acquire each of these pieces. And obviously that came with the introduction of Romana, who I would say, along with Leela, probably my two favorite companions of all time. And absolutely loved Romana on the show, both of them. Mary Tam is probably my favorite of the Romanas. I actually had the chance to meet her a couple of times, and she was just the sweetest lady ever. Really, really nice. In fact, there have been a lot of times over the years where I sat and thought, you know, if I ever go and put the old Doctor costume back on over at Broken Sea and start that up, I would love to have, you know, one or two episodes where we bring Romana back and we go old school, go classic with my Doctor and Romana getting into some mischief, lots of classic kind of banter between the two of them. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. If I had to choose a favorite episode or two, certainly Invasion of Time was really, really good. Probably my favorite of all time would be Talons of Wang Chiang. We got this amazing historical episode, cool sets, giant rat. We got Leela running around through the tunnels. We've got the Doctor in this amazing Sherlock Holmes costume that I actually saw up close once at a convention back in 1983. And I had a crack at buying the thing too, but being a young teenager at the time, I didn't have $750 in my pocket to buy the coat and hat set, which is what it went for, as I recall. And to this day, it's just like, oh my God, if I had a job like I do now where I'm making adult money and I could go back to that convention, there are so many amazing costumes and props and stuff that I could pick up. And interestingly enough, I talk about the Key to Time. That was something that stuck with me so much because there was a couple segments of the Key to Time, actual screen-used ones, that were auctioned off at the convention in 1983. And that just, that stuck in my head for years after. And a few years ago, not long after I bought my house, I came across a place that had gotten a hold of actual screen use segments for the Key to Time, and I now have three of them. So I literally have half of the Key to Time, and that's really, really cool.
Of the first eight TV doctors, Hartnell through McGann, who is your doctor, the one that you consider your favorite, and why?
My doctor. Well, after all of this, I think the answer is probably pretty obvious. For me, Doctor Who begins with Tom Baker in my life, and that's it. For me, he's the archetype. That's the main man. I, you know, when I was able to eventually go back and check out the Hartnells and the Troughtons and the Pertwees and just move along from Baker through Davison and to present, you know, they've all had their individual charm and distinctiveness, but there's just something about Tom Baker. It's just so real. He's often said that when he would play Doctor Who, he wasn't playing a character. He was basically playing himself. And just that realness, I think, is a big part of what made him so amazing. You know, you have actors who try to portray Doctor Who. They try to find the Doctor. And for him, it seemed to just come so naturally. It literally was a part of him. And I think you see that with a lot of actors in certain roles that they're very well known for, that there's a big part of them in the character and the character in them. So it makes it very easy to play, and they play the character very believably.
After playing the Doctor in other audio productions in the past, what's it like to play the Master in DRE's Doctor Who series?
Playing the Master versus playing the Doctor was, for me, very, very different. For the, 23 years I've been doing audio dramas, I've usually played either some kind of hero or anti-hero, usually a good guy, or at the very least, a good guy with kind of a gray area, a really big gray area to him. And, you know, now suddenly I'm going from playing one character to literally playing that character's nemesis. So doing it is a lot different. It's fun, but in a completely different way. You know, playing the Doctor, there's a whimsicality to it, but in a lighter, more heroic kind of fashion, where the Doctor's out there and sometimes he's goofing around, but you know he's got an eye on things. He's in control, even though sometimes it seems he's not. And he's obviously working for the greater good in some fashion. Playing the master's kind of a wild card. I mean, you sometimes you know exactly what he's trying to do. Other times, you know he's working on something, but what you think is his ultimate goal might not necessarily be his ultimate goal. So, you know, he's a lot more complex trying to play. And that's certainly very interesting. Having grown up with the early Masters, particularly Delgado and Ainley, those for me are like my models for the master. And if you've listened to the Dream Realm show, you'll notice that my portrayal is very much in that same vein. But that's how I see the master, the Moriarty-like character, and I like that. I like sort of the suave, sophisticated, elegant villain, a villain who will literally fence with the Doctor, as we saw Delgado do with Pertwee, and someone who's just cool, they're classy, they're badass, they know it, they are of amazing intellect, and, you know, basically everybody else in the universe is less than they are. So there's that wonderful arrogance, which is a lot of fun to play, to try to convey in my performance. And I suppose just in general, it's very refreshing. It's very liberating to be able to say and do things that if you tried to do in the real world would get you either hauled off to jail or killed. So there's a lot of appeal in that for me.
And to follow up on that, do you have a favorite moment from your run as the master so far?
Ooh, I like the sound of that, because that implies that I'm going to get to play the master some more. Excellent. I think certainly I like, as I said, a good debut story, and Good or Evil was one of the most fun Doctor Who shows I've ever been in. I loved the whole idea that the audience didn't know who was the Doctor, who was the Master, and you know, I was trying to purposely play it like anything could go. I was trying not to sound like the classical Master. I was actually shooting more for sort of like a bit of a Hartnell kind of a voice. Then we start kind of seeing that sort of, you know, almost like an absent-minded professor starts taking a bit of a turn. And, you know, he says to Mina, "What if I want to get impulsive? What if I want to get rich?" And now people start hopefully getting doubts in their head that maybe this isn't the Doctor after all. And it just seems from there, things start taking a darker turn. You know, the scene gets darker. The music gets a little bit scarier. Just the whole overall vibe of the scene starts taking on this increasing menace. And, you know, till we get to the part where at the end of part one, Mina basically seems to come to the realization that the guy she's with is probably not the Doctor, and the episode ends. And then we pick up with part two, and, it's neat because about, about seven and a half minutes in or something, they're talking and we hear the laugh. And, you know, I get to say those classic words, you know, like, "No more games. I am the master." And I remember when I recorded that line, saying that just absolutely sent a chill down my spine.
And as a further follow-up, what kind of hijinks would you like to see the Master get up to in this series?
Ah, what kind of mischief would I like to get up to as the Master? Wow. Well, see, that's the cool thing about the Master, is the fact that, again, anything goes. He's not exactly bound like the Doctor is. as far as having really any kind of moral compass. He can get into anything and pretty much do anything, and it would be largely keeping in with character, however diabolical, which is great. There's a lot of room for craziness. But honestly, I think one of the things that I'd like to see him do, and I might have mentioned this last time we spoke, is it would be cool to have an episode where he and the Doctor have to actually work together to either get out of a crazy situation or overcome a villain that is perhaps far worse than even he is. And we're not talking just, you know, your typical Dalek situation either. I think it could also be very interesting if the Master went back to Gallifrey in a similar situation, like when the Fourth Doctor went back and claimed his right at a shot at becoming president of the Time Lords, and through whatever trickery have the Master become the Lord President, and to see just what kind of things he would be having the Time Lords do, and what kind of laws he might enact, and what clever, cunning plan he might have as, say, ruler of the Time Lords. You know, how would the Doctor potentially stop him? And while I don't think I could ever pull off the voice, much as I would love to, I would love to also have another team-up story where Missy is brought back, and to have our own kind of Mighty Marvel team-up of my Master and Missy just getting into all kinds of insane situations. That would be a complete blast, I think, to do. So by all means, John, if you want to, you know, get together sometime online and start tossing a few ideas back and forth over the next couple of years, I would be more than happy to see if maybe we could come up with something that's just really interesting and creative. Definitely let me know. I'd love to talk about that.
All right. All fascinating stuff. Thank you, Mark, for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate having you here to celebrate the 60th anniversary with us.
Once again, it's been a really great time. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm looking forward to playing the Master for as long as you'll have me.
Okay, we are going to wrap it all up here and get prepared for the next episode, which will be a further celebration of the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who on TV, and, well, all things Doctor Who. And we will also be talking to Paul Arbisi, the current DRE Doctor. That's all in the next episode, which you will get to hear in just a few days. So we're giving you two bonus episodes this week in celebration of the 60th. So until the next one, you guys know the drill. Please stay tuned.
You have been listening to a fan production for Dream Realm Enterprises. This is a not-for-profit program.